You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was incredible. Welcome into Locked On Rockets, the only daily home for podcast commentary on the NBA's winningest team. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship. What a win it was for the Rockets on Tuesday night in Oakland, California, 95-92. The Rockets tie the series 2-2 against the defending champion Golden State Warriors with two of the final three games in Houston, Texas, starting with a pivotal Game 5 on Thursday night. So many storylines to go through. James Harden shedding so many playoff Harden narratives. Team high 30 points, 11 of 26 from the field. Chris Paul, after appearing gimpy to start the game with that Achilles or foot injury, whatever it may be, that seemed to plague him on that right foot for stretches of this series, had 27 on 10 of 20 shooting. Ultimately, though, it was the Rockets' defense holding the defending champion to just 12 points in their gym in the fourth quarter, all with the Rockets playing just an 11-man, or just a 7-man rotation. Excuse me, I don't know where I came with 11. I was actually looking at Gerald Green's box score. He had 12 minutes, which, that's your 7th man. Other than that, Chris Paul, James Harden, 42 and 43 minutes, respectively. Trevor Ariza, 41. P.J. Tucker, 44. The Rockets knew they couldn't go down 3-1 in this series against the defending champions and expect to win 3 straight. And they responded with, I would say, one of their most incredible efforts of the season. The series is far from over. Even in Houston, the Warriors have won there before. They're the defending champions. They're not going to go down without a fight. Although I do think the Rockets in a best-of-3 series with 2 in Houston, the Rockets at this point should be considered very slightly, but the favorites. Even so, it's far from commanding. Can Golden State win? Sure they can. But what the Rockets showed you tonight, more than any one individual player, although Harden with 30, Chris Paul with 27, both were strong. Actually, Harden, Paul, and Eric Gordon off the bench were 14, the only guys in double figures. But what the Rockets showed you tonight was a collective belief, a will to win, that to me, as we do our normal 3 points recap, is more important than any player, any X's and O's, because what the Rockets took tonight, they started very sluggish out of the gate, down 12-0, almost 5 minutes into the game. They took an onslaught from the Warriors in the third quarter, outscored 34-17. Steph Curry again had 17 points in the third, making so many shots that were impossible to defend from nearly 30 feet away. Now, granted, the Rockets did miss some shots in the restricted area. There are things they can get better at. And by the way, that's important to note because I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of analysis after the game. Well, Curry was just 10 of 26. Andre Iguodala missed the game with a knee injury. Klay Thompson was 4 of 13. Durant was 9 of 24. And sure, some of those were because of Rockets defense. But you'll have a narrative built, I'm sure, that the Rockets won by 3 points, even though the Warriors didn't play nearly their A game. Well, my response to that would be, number one, it's at Oracle Arena, which makes everything a whole heck of a lot tougher. And secondly, beyond the fact that the Rockets forced a lot of those, the psychology to respond the way the Rockets did to a 12-0 start from Golden State, to a 10-point lead going to the fourth quarter with the Warriors landing one of their patented haymakers led by Steph Curry, what it felt like was that the Warriors expected the Rockets to go away. And collectively, they never did. And you can point to late in the game, the Rockets playing a little too much. I don't know if hero ball is the right expression. I would say they played too much of the clock in terms of the closing minutes of the game. When they got up 5 with that Eric Gordon 3 with, I believe, 2.5 minutes left. Yeah, I've looked it up now. Gordon made his 3 with 2:27 left. By the way, Eric Gordon, not a great night for him overall from the field, but that was a huge shot to put the Rockets up 2 possessions late. From then on out, the only point the Rockets scored was on the 1 free throw with 0.5 left on a very controversial 0.5 awarded back to the Warriors on a loose ball foul after they missed a shot at the end of the game. But despite the Rockets not scoring, other than a loose ball foul awarded to Kevin Durant, or two loose ball fouls awarded to Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, they made three or four free throws collectively. Here's what happened in the final 2:30 of that game. Curry turnover out of bounds. Klay Thompson missed a three. Steph Curry missed a three. They forced a missed runner from Steph Curry to the rim. Klay Thompson missed a contested two with a couple of seconds left that would have tied the game. And then with 0.5 left, that was so emblematic, the way the Rockets closed out this game. I know, the final 0.5 seconds in the game, that 95-92 was decided over 48 grueling minutes. Two great offensive teams actually played a defensive game in which neither could get going because both teams wanted it so much. The Warriors having an opportunity to take a commanding 3-1 lead. The Rockets having an opportunity, which they did, to tie it at 2 with now a best of 3 in Houston with Game 5 Thursday night. The defense went out. Maybe there were some nerves too. But that 0.5 was emblematic. Very controversial. In my opinion, there was no evidence after Klay Thompson missed that shot, there was a foul called with 0.5 seconds left. Nonetheless, they sent Chris Paul to the line. He made 1 of 2. And the Warriors, with a timeout left, were able to advance the ball. They tried to get a look to someone that was open, because with 0.5 left, it's not like you can turn and shoot or do any movement at all. The only look they could get was to Steph Curry, who, because of how he was moving, had his back to the basket. And, of course, he missed the shot. But it didn't matter if he missed the shot, because by the time he caught it, turned, and elevated, the 0.5 had already clearly elapsed. Great fundamental defense by the Rockets. We saw it a lot down the stretch of the game. And for a Rockets team that's been defined so much by the offensive exploits of Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, and Chris Paul, tonight it was about the collective will to win. And defensively, what's amazing, I mentioned the 7-man rotation. The Rockets, in a desperation situation, did not play Luke Bamute at all. They've given him small stints in the first 3 games of this series, but he's never quite looked himself, coming off 2 dislocated shoulders. To rally with that level of defensive effort, despite not having Luke, despite on a, not a back-to-back, but it almost feels like with all the off days in the playoffs being every other day from here on out, to have 4 starters play 41 or more minutes, to have Clint Capela give you 13 rebounds and 2 blocks in just 24 minutes, just an incredible commitment by the Rockets, and it was ugly. It's not going to be, I would say, something that you could necessarily replicate, because the Warriors are going to shoot better. Well, guess what? So are the Rockets, too. P.J. Tucker was 0 of 4. Clint Capela was 2 of 5, missed a lot of open looks. Eric Gordon was 4 of 14, just 1 of 8 from 3. P.J., Eric, Trevor, the last time the Rockets were in Houston, those were your go-to players. And role players typically play better at home. So stylistically, I don't know that you're going to take that much for either team from this game and apply it to Game 5 or any other game the remainder of this series. And I think that's a key point to remember on both sides. Each game is its own separate entity. That's how the Rockets landed a haymaker in Game 2. That's how the Warriors won by 40 in Game 3. And that's how the Rockets, despite going down 12-0 early and down 10 entering the fourth quarter of Game 4, still didn't fade. In terms of game-to-game, even quarter-to-quarter, there's going to be a lot of variance. There's not that much you can take in terms of exactly how a certain game plays out. And maybe Andre Iguodala comes back. That would give the Warriors another defender on the perimeter. There's lots of angles that this series can still turn. But what this shows you, in my opinion, is more important than any player, any X's and O's adjustment, the Rockets' collective belief, their intestinal fortitude. They took some incredible punches. After losing 41 points on Sunday night in that same gym, everyone in America, including a lot of Rockets fans, said this series was over. Everyone counted them out. Then after going down 12-0, after going down double digits entering the fourth quarter with the Warriors outscoring you by 17 in the third, it would have been so, so easy to fade. Just to go into the night quietly and say, this is the most talented team in NBA history. We gave it our best shot, but they're just too good. The Rockets did not do that. They bounced back, and perhaps it's most fitting that for a team that's been defined by offense all season long, and make no mistake, over the balance of, what, I believe 96 games now, including the regular season playoffs, are one of the best offensive teams in NBA history, led by Chris Paul, James Harden, Mike D'Antoni. And yet, in the biggest game of the season, to tie the series at two and make it a best of three with Houston having home court, it was the defense holding Golden State to just 12 points that got it done. And mention the fact that you had four starters play 41 or more minutes. No one on the Rockets had more than four fouls. They were disciplined. They were durable. They didn't play dumb down the stretch. They were able to make plays without fouling, force the Warriors into difficult shots. They switched. You had Trevor Ariza, to me, was the MVP of this game on the defensive end, and you had him guarding everyone from Steph Curry to Kevin Durant, depending on what the switch was, what the Warriors were able to do, and even James Harden, certainly not a great game defensively for him all the way around, but late in the game, he held his own against Steph Curry better than you would expect him to. And then the two guys off the bench, the only two guys at the bench, Eric Gordon and Gerald Green, plus 8 and plus 14. I know that's not all emblematic of them. Some of it, no Andre Iguodala. I think that made it a little easier for the second unit of the Rockets with Chris Paul in to have a little more success than they did in the first three games of this series. But regardless, the results speak for themselves. This was a desperation game for the Rockets. They did not have a minute to spare, especially after falling down 12-0 out of the chute. And they found a way to get it done. And by the way, I can't believe it. I mentioned PJ shooting just 0-4 as an area to improve. PJ Tucker in his 44 minutes with 16 rebounds. That is absolutely incredible. For a Rockets team that the only big they played was Clint Capella, and he played just 24 minutes. For the Rockets to only lose the rebounding battle, 49-41, to be within single digits with Capella playing 24 minutes, nothing from Nene or Ryan Anderson or Tarik Black or anyone off the bench, essentially Clint Capella and a bunch of wings. For the Rockets to be within single digits on the glass and PJ to have 16, that stat reflects just how much the Rockets wanted it in this game. And that, to me, is what stands out offensively. After going down 9 after the first quarter, I mentioned the 12-0 start. They scored 34 in the second quarter, 34-18 to give themselves a 7-point lead at the half. Offense was how they responded the first half. And the second half, it was defense holding the Warriors to 12 points. But I think more than any individual, it's that collective belief that regardless of what probably the most talented team in the history of the NBA throws at you, the way they respond, just an incredible showing. And because of it, the Rockets have tied the series at 2 going back to Houston. Now, I wanted to spend the first segment talking collectively, because to discuss anything individually, I think almost does the Rockets a disservice based on how this game went down. I mentioned just three guys in double figures. It was all about the belief, the will to win, the way they responded in an adverse situation that even in Game 5 and Game 6 against the Spurs a year ago, they didn't. And I know they didn't have the talent back then that they do now. Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, those additions mean a lot. Gerald Green as well, who in just 12 minutes was somehow a plus 14. But regardless, the Rockets, I think even from last year, they've learned a lot. And so you want to give them credit collectively as a team. Individually, mentioned James Harden with 30, although 24 came in the first half. Chris Paul with 27. It wasn't a pretty game for the Rockets down the stretch, but there were a couple of things that, in my opinion, were very big. First, mentioned that Eric Gordon, 3, with 2.5 minutes left to put him up 5. That's a big clutch shot. Eric did not have a great night, 4-14. That was his only made 3 of the entire evening. But for all that's been lobbed about him and his disappointing performances in the postseason, for him to hit that shot in that moment at Oracle Arena, by the way, fun fact, the Rockets have now won, going back to the regular season, 3 of their last 5 games in Oakland. So if it goes to a Game 6, I don't think that arena is necessarily going to shake them to where they are just devastated going in there. But Eric had the big shot. Wasn't a great night for him. What impressed me most in this game, of course, the two stars. I mentioned going into Game 4 and my pregame show that it was going to have to be the stars leading the way. Because Eric, Trevor, PJ, the recipe that you had in Game 2, that's probably not what's going to work at Oracle Arena. And it didn't. Those three guys had a combined 27 points and were well below 50% from the field. Actually, Eric and PJ between them were 4 of 18. Chris Paul, through the first quarter of this game, had 2 points. He was, I believe, 1 of 5. And looked gimpy. I still don't think he's all the way back from his foot, his Achilles, whatever is going on. He finished the game 10 of 20 with 27 points, which tells you that he made 9 of his last 15, shooting basically 60% from the field over the final three quarters. He was simply incredible. And in this game, maybe Andre Iguodala being out with that knee contusion helped. But that stretch early in the fourth quarter, too often throughout this series, the Rockets have lost the minutes, even with Curry and Durant not out there, the minutes without Harden. The Paul and Eric Gordon-led lineups, late in the first, early in the second, late in the third, early in the fourth quarters. The Rockets have lost those minutes a lot in this series. They didn't tonight. To me, the pivotal stretch was after the Rockets took that enormous haymaker from the Warriors in the third quarter, that 34-17 burst to go up 10. They actually outscored Golden State 9-2 in the first 3 minutes and 12 seconds of the fourth quarter to cut it to a 3-point game. And from then on, it was anybody's game. I've said through the first three games, if there's a silver lining of the Rockets losing by 41, it's that they hadn't blown an opportunity. These teams are too damn good. The Warriors, the three-time defending Western Conference champions, probably the most talented roster ever assembled. The Rockets having won 65 games in the regular season and got 8-2 through the first two rounds of the playoffs against two good teams in Minnesota and Utah. Both of these teams are too good to go down without a fight. At some point, there was going to be at least one close game that could go either way, and whichever team steals it would tip the series. The Rockets, they put the pressure on Golden State, and they took advantage down the stretch, and they stole that game. Is the series over? Of course not. Golden State could easily do the same thing in Houston. There's three long games, well, at least two, it's a best of three, still left to play. But to me, Chris Paul, on what looked like a gimpy Achilles, I still don't think he quite had his normal explosion, but to play through the pain, the lack of explosion, burst, whatever it may be, and to shoot that well, to end up scoring 27 on 50% shooting in that gym, even with Klay Thompson, who's a pretty damn great defender in his own right, blanketing him for long stretches, just a remarkable showing from Chris Paul to make that many plays. And of course, he was the guy out there early in the fourth quarter when it seemed like that had been a heck of an effort by the Rockets to come from down 12 to up 10, but the Warriors hit with that haymaker, and it was one of those where it felt like for a little bit, you might say, wow, the Rockets, you like how they responded, but the Warriors, too talented. Chris Paul, early in the fourth quarter, and this is, by the way, is what the Rockets have done all season long. They have been better in those late third, early fourth, late first, early seconds, because you have Chris Paul leading the way against bench units. It hasn't played, or it hadn't played that way through the first three games of this series, but in game four, it finally regressed to something closer to what we've seen all season long. That's what got the Rockets back in the game, made it 82-79 with 8:48 left. At that point, it was anybody's ball game, and ultimately the Rockets made a few more shots down the stretch. Actually, Durant made a tough shot for the Warriors up 5, but then Chris Paul fittingly made a 3 to cut it to 2. That was a big momentum shot. Then Ariza hit the 3 to put the Rockets up for the first time in the fourth quarter at 85-84, and from then on out, it was pretty much anybody's ball game, and the Rockets, fortunately, down the stretch, just made a couple extra plays, especially on the defensive end of the floor. But to me, Chris Paul, despite the limitations, clearly, he's not 100%. You could see him limping at times in this game. Now, granted, it's not just Chris. I don't think Steph Curry is 100% coming off a grade 2 MCL injury. Andre Iguodala didn't play. We saw Klay Thompson tweak his knee early on. This time of the year, there's a lot of injuries going on. So you just have to play through. We saw Steph Curry do that in Game 3 when he was unbelievable. 35 points, 18 in the third, I believe, on 7 of 7 shooting. Well, Chris Paul did that tonight. It's at this time of the year, you've got to play through the pain. You've got to answer. That's what Chris Paul did at 33 years old. Even if he's a little gimpy, so what? That guy has the heart of a champion, and he showed it tonight. And then in the first half, the same could be said for James Harden. I know some are going to say that James scored just 6 points in the second half. Okay, well, the fact that James scored 24 in the first was the only reason that you were even alive, down only 10, after the Warriors hit you with that incredible 17-point onslaught in the third quarter. That was the only reason why the game was even in contact, because the Rockets somehow late in the first half went on that run that flipped an early 12-point deficit to a 10-point lead. And James Harden, everything from the step back, driving to the rim, when I mentioned Chris Paul and Clint Capella, the other two members of your big three, they did not start especially well, 1 of 8 combined. James Harden in the first quarter was 4 of 6. He was the only thing going. He kept the Rockets in striking distance. And by the way, to me, he had the defining play, even the game that went down to the wire, the dunk that James Harden had on Draymond Green. And if for some reason you haven't seen it, just Twitter search or Google search James Harden, Draymond Green, and you'll see it, was an incredible statement at Oracle Arena in Oakland to throw that down over one of the NBA's best and most physical defenders. That showed you that the Rockets aren't going anywhere. They're here to stay. And, of course, it was part, as I mentioned, 24 points in the first half for Harden. Also in that half, he had 3 steals. He had 2 blocks. He was engaged on both ends. He had a sequence in the first half where he stripped guys on back-to-back possessions, leading to 4 points. Not just 4 points that he created on his own offense, 4 points they created off of his defense for all the criticisms that get thrown his way. And many of them are fair, although some of it, James is just not the quickest guy in terms of his lateral movement. But regardless, James, despite his workload, 43 minutes tonight, 30 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, some of the defensive criticisms are absolutely fair. But at the same time, you also have to acknowledge 3 steals, 2 blocks, which is that sequence in the first half, which is what put them up 10 at one point late in the first, ended up going to the half up 7. That, what you did in the first half, when you beat the Warriors, you don't just do it with one stretch of the game. You don't beat an all-time historic team because you go on one run. You do it, especially at their gym, over a lot of runs, over 48 minutes. And James did the heavy lifting in the first half. In the second half, it was a combination of Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, a big three late from Eric Gordon, and the defense. But just because James Harden didn't have the signature dagger three or whatever put-away shot that you want for the Michael Jordan reels in the final 2 minutes, it doesn't mean that he did not have an enormous impact on this game. Because to beat a team as great as the Warriors, it takes a full 48 minutes. And what James Harden, the Herculean effort he did in the first half, that's a big part of why the Rockets were up 7 and why they were able to withstand that traditional Warriors onslaught in the third quarter. And sure, some of it, the Rockets will go back to the film and they'll point out that they missed a lot of shots in the restricted area, especially Eric Gordon, 4 of 14, Clint Capella, 2 of 5. So what, that's 6 of 19 between them. There are things the Rockets can get better, and Mike D'Antoni will hold them accountable tomorrow at practice, I'm sure. But what Harden did in the first half, that's how the Rockets were able to stay within striking distance until Chris Paul got him back in it early in the fourth quarter. And down the stretch, with 6 minutes left, it was anybody's game. And fortunately, between Paul, Ariza, Gordon, Harden did have a big bucket on a drive late in the game, and then just fantastic defense all the way around. Felt like everybody, because of the switches, had a moment at one time or another. They had a key stop. The Rockets just made a couple more plays, and now the series is tied at 2 after the Rockets won 95-92 at Oracle Arena in Game 4. Final segment of our 3 points recap. I'm not meaning to be fatalistic about this at all. I want to state before I go into this final point that I firmly think that the Rockets have a better than 50-50 shot at winning this series. To me, they are the justified favorites by what you've seen through 4 games, with 2 of the last 3 games at home, and the fact that with games this pivotal, that the home court advantage means even more, and the fact that in a game 6 at Oakland, the Rockets are going to have no fear. That's another underrated thing, by the way, from these first few games. When you lose the way the Rockets did in game 1 and come back and win in blowout fashion, when you lose by 41 at Oracle and win just 2 nights later the way they did, even after being down double digits, entering the fourth, that scored them 25-12 down the stretch, being down 12-0, the Rockets are going to have no fear, whether they're up 3-2 or down 3-2, entering Oracle Arena in Game 6, and that in and of itself is a big deal. But it's not a lock they win this series. I think it's better than 50-50 when you consider what they've shown you through 4 games, that they have home court advantage, that there's a reason they won 65 games out of 82 in the regular season, 8 of 10 the first 2 rounds of the playoffs, 2 of 2 so far against the Warriors. I think the Rockets are slight favorites, even though I suspect that I have deference to the Warriors' championship pedigree. My guess is that Vegas has the Warriors' slight favorites just based on their name brand. It is what it is. However, whether you see the Rockets as the 55-45 favorite or the Warriors, reality is, this series, now a best of three, could go either way. At this point, there is almost no scenario where, if I'm a Rockets fan, that I feel disappointed in this basketball team. More than anything else tonight, I think you should feel a hell of a lot of pride. That's not saying that losing is okay. And believe me, look at how hard the Rockets tried with four of the starters going 41-plus minutes. None of those guys are okay with losing. That's the focus you saw tonight. That said, for those of us that are not on the floor, for those of us that are just watching them, the Warriors have four All-Stars. Even if Andre Iguodala isn't out there, they still got four All-Stars. That's how good they are. And yet, the Rockets found a way in Oracle Arena to outscore them by 13 in the fourth quarter and get a win. That is remarkable heart. That is remarkable dedication, winning DNA, whatever you want to call it, the intangibles. James Harden, Chris Paul, both of them the most important playoff game they have ever played. Chris Paul hasn't even been to a conference finals before. James Harden, the only times he's been, 2012, he was a sixth man. Let's throw that year out. Nowhere near the same as this year when he's the MVP of the league. This is the biggest playoff game they've ever played, down 2-1. Not a must-win game, pretty close to it. For them to get 57 combined points at Oracle Arena on 21-46 from the field, just a remarkable, remarkable showing. By the way, Chris Paul, 5 of 9 from 3. I don't think I mentioned that. Say he was 10 of 20 earlier. 5 of 9 from 3. Many of those were blanketed. He was just that damn good. Some incredible looks. And the Rockets as a team, by the way, were a lot more disciplined. I believe they had 19 turnovers in Game 3. Just 10 tonight, forced the Warriors into 16. So, of course, they won the turnover battle as well, which is always key. But I think it's clear at this point that if the Rockets lose this series, which at this point I think it's less than 50-50. I think the odds are better than 50-50 if they win it. But if they lose, it's not because there's any deficiency in James Harden or Chris Paul or Mike D'Antoni. Everything this team has showed you from an intangible standpoint is incredible. The way they answered the bell in that arena against a team with four All-Stars, with Steph Curry going on just a remarkable onslaught, even with his struggles in the fourth quarter, still 6 of 13 from 3, plus 10 in his 39 minutes tonight. To win in those circumstances, if the Rockets ultimately lose this series, it's simply because the Warriors have won too many All-Stars. And you know what? That sucks. I'm not saying it shouldn't sting, but if it does, ultimately, well, if you're the Rockets and you're Daryl Morey, okay, you get back on your horse and you say, you know what? I've got one of the best teams in NBA history. I think it's pretty clear at this point to even take the Warriors to six games. This is the first time that the Warriors have even been challenged in this era of Kevin Durant. This is an all-time great team. Hopefully the Rockets finish it off with a championship, but even if they don't, it's an all-time great team, and that makes it all the easier to go out and recruit more players to the Rockets, because if the Rockets lose this series, it's not going to be because of any deficiency in Houston. It's going to simply be because Golden State is that incredible, makes that many all-star plays late in close games. And if they do, it would suck. Tip your hat. But at the same time, the Rockets, by tying this at 2, they've already shown you this is not a run-of-the-mill basketball team. This is special. And hopefully the Rockets can win 4 out of 7 against these guys this year. If they can't, if you're an NBA competitor and LeBron James is at the forefront of that list, there is no other place in the NBA where you will have even close to the level of chance that you could have here in Houston with the likes of James Harden, Chris Paul, this team. So at this point, there's no silver linings in losing. I'm not trying to say that. I think the Rockets are better than 50-50 shot to get to the finals, and if they do, they'd be overwhelming favorites to win the title, the first since the mid-90s. That's everything you play for. It's all right in front of them. I'm not trying to sit here and say the Rockets have accomplished their goals. But at this point, what I think we can acknowledge is that there is no scenario like what happened against San Antonio last year. There is no scenario where you go into the offseason wondering about, can this Rockets team, this group led by Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, Chris Paul, do it? They can. They are that good. Besides the obvious talent, they have the intangibles, the winning DNA, whatever you want to call it. And I think they have enough this series. If they don't, then they may need one more piece this summer to compete with the four All-Stars against Golden State. But if they lose this series in six or seven, then they're going to be extraordinarily respected and well-positioned to go out and add that piece if that's ultimately what it takes, along with, well, organic growth, because after all, this is just year one of the Chris Paul and James Harden era in Houston. So it's not like that this is a finished product either. No one expected it to come together as quickly as it has. So you could possibly get better just from the current group as well. But I think clearly the Rockets have bigger goals than that. Hopefully they're able to close the door on this series. But even if they aren't, what an incredible night for the Rockets. I think they earned the league's respect with this game. That's respect is not a title. You play for a title. But respect in and of itself with the bar as high as it is in today's NBA, to get respect against that team, it's incredibly hard to do. And in my opinion, the Rockets have done it. It's not the end goal, but I think you can go into Game 5, which certainly is a pivotal one for the Rockets, at the very least, feeling a lot of pride, and hopefully, of course, you express that pride in terms of noise, because Game 5 could certainly swing the series as well. We've got ourselves a series now, and the Rockets need to entertain or be as loud as humanly possible on Thursday night for that one. So until then, I will wrap up. Well, actually, it won't be until then. I'm sure we'll have a guest to break down the X's and O's. Didn't want to get too deep into that tonight, because I think tonight's more about combination of celebration and just reflecting on the intestinal fortitude, the character, the DNA we saw from the Rockets in terms of what actually happened in terms of adjustments between the 41-point loss in Game 3 and the win in Game 4, as well as what both teams are likely to do before the pivotal Game 5 of the series tied at 2 on Thursday night. Stay tuned to us here at Locked On Rockets for that. For tonight, though, this is where we'll wrap it. As always, thank you guys for listening. If you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I am at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget our email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Website, lockedonrockets.com. Facebook account at facebook.com/lockedonrockets. Always, you can access our content, ask us questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan. I would love to hear from you. Once again, the incredibly happy final from Oracle Arena on Tuesday evening. Rockets 95, Warriors 92. Series now tied at 2. Western Conference Finals, that is, with an all-important Game 5 on Thursday night at Toyota Center. Look forward to seeing many of you guys there. Should be an incredible environment. For now, get some rest. And thanks again for listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, the home, the only home, that is, for daily commentary on Houston Rockets basketball.